بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونشكره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونشكر له أن جعلنا ضيوفه في هذه الليلة المباركة. We praise Allah and we thank Him for being His guests in this blessed night and the guest of the generous should be happy and content. We go through this juz. It started with about late in the previous surah telling us about the angels visiting Ibrahim and how he was a little conscious, anxious about them, but they told him the glad tidings of having another son called Ishaq. And you know that his wife, well into her menopause, was quite taken by surprise for this news. And they told Ibrahim also that they were on a mission to destroy the people of his nephew Lot, and so they did. The ayah, the Surah Dhariyat, reminds us again of the fate of the previous kafirs, like the people of Lot, those of Pharaoh, the people of Ad and the Thamud, and before them the people of Noah, that the outcome of deviation was always destruction. And the surah states some of the ayahs of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including a special verse that should be eye-catching to us in this century in particular. Since Islam started, people read the verse, but only tens of years ago did we see another dimension of it. And that is the ayah that says, وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ. We have built the heavens with power and we are ever expanding. And this very day the scientists tell us that all the galaxies are going apart from one another continuously, and that the universe as known is expanding all the time, until when Allah only knows. Then the surah states, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْإِنسَ وَالْجِنَّ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And one would wonder what is the meaning of يَعْبُدُونَ here, because so many people are accustomed to translate يَعْبُدُونَ in terms of salah and the sawm and the Hajj and the Zakah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I created them for nothing else but to worship me, which tells us the wider dimension of ibadah. As a matter of fact, our life should be all ibadah. Whatever we do, the 24 hours a day, every day, goes under the umbrella of ibadah. If we do good to ourselves, our families, our brothers and sisters, our fellow human beings, our animals, our environment, etc., etc., this is all under the umbrella of ibadah. And this is the mission of the human beings, as well as it is the mission of the jinn. when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of other creatures, you find the word used is different than the word ibadah. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. That is the creatures that are programmed to obey the laws set to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be it the atom, the molecule, be it the trees, be it the wind, be it the rain, etc., etc. This is tasbih, to go according to the plan that Allah set to them. But the word ya'budun is used in the Quran for only three kinds of creatures, that is the human beings and the jinn and the angels, and these are the ones who can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moving to Surah Tur, and Allah is swearing by things that we can perhaps understand. He's swearing by the Tur, the mountain, by the book, the Quran, by the heavenly house, the equivalent of the Kaaba in heaven, by the heavens, by the blazing sea, which will occur at the time of the hereafter. For what is Allah swearing? Allah swears that the inevitable will come. And he contrasts the believers whose pious progeny will also follow them in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nearest to us and the most beloved, our progeny, our children and the children's children. And sometimes one would wonder, if I ever, by the grace of Allah, go to heaven, would it be possible that my progeny, my offspring, would follow me? And here is a promise. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانِ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. Those who attain the faith and their progeny, their offspring, follow in their first footsteps, acquiring the faith, then we will send with them their offspring. We shall not deny any of the good things they did. And here, كُلُّ مْرِئٍ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِينٌ. Everyone will be judged according to what they did. And the ayah says that not all our progeny would be following us to heaven if we go to heaven, but those only who take into our footsteps in the path of faith and the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because كُلُّ مْرِئٍ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِينٌ. Everyone will meet the outcome of what he did. And that is why when Nuh asked Allah for the saving of his son, and his son was amongst the kafirs, the immediate response, he is not your progeny, he is not min ahlik, because he is a bad deed and a bad doer. Also Ibrahim, who prayed for his father because he promised to do so, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear that Ibrahim was mu'min, but his father was kafir. And when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was given the news that he will be the imam for people, and he asked Allah, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي, and what about my offspring? And Allah said, لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. My covenant, my promise, will not reach those who are wrongdoers. And this is perhaps a difference between us and those of the Jewish faith. To them, if you are amongst the progeny of Israel, you are guaranteed it. To us, and they relate that to the promise to Ibrahim. But to us, when we read about Ibrahim and asking Allah for his offspring, Allah tells him frankly that this promise of mine does not include the wrongdoers. Again, it states that accountability is individual, and this also is something we Muslims are unique in. We are not the chosen race or the relations of Allah or the beloved of Allah to the exclusion of the others, and we are not those who believe that blood was shed in order to atone for our sins like the Christians do. But accountability is very personal and very individual, and if I do something wrong, my father either forgives me or punishes me. But if he goes and hits and beats my brother because I did something wrong, this is not fair, it is not logic, it is not acceptable. And yet this is what our friends the Christians believe in. And the ayah repeats, كُلُّ مْرِئٍ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِينٍ, and وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى ثُمَّ يُجْزَاهُ الْجَزَاءَ الْأَوْفَى. What I have is what I did, and what I did will be investigated and evaluated, and I will take my reward or punishment upon what I did, not upon what others did or did for me. No intercession. As a matter of fact, I feel quite surprised to hear that some very well-educated Christian friends would go to the priest and tell the priest, I sinned, I committed so and so, I did adultery, etc., etc. And then the priest would say, go my child, you have been forgiven. This is the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one should sit on the throne of God to tell anyone whether he has been forgiven or not. As we move to Surah Najm, and it speaks about the Mi'raj, and the Surah Najm is full of flashes, which the Surah says they were very clear to the eyes of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Yet when we read the Surah, we are baffled. It is just flashes. He went up, he went down, Sidrat al-Muntaha. He showed his servant what he showed without detail. He saw from the big eyes of his Lord, because the detail is beyond us. We cannot comprehend the detail. We have a limited mind, and our mind is limited by our environment, and what the Prophet saw in the Mi'raj is out of our horizon, and so it is only glimpses without detailing them that have been relayed to us in the ayah. The wisdom of the Mi'raj, of course, was that the one who has been chosen to be the teacher of all humanity for all time to come should be himself taught enough. It was like a mission, an educational mission, and there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam to see the truth as it is, not in a symbolic form that we are addressed in symbols. Yes, we hear that in heaven is so and so, and in fire is so and so, but we are also told that what will be in the hereafter is what no eye has ever seen, and what no ear has ever heard, and what no imagination could ever capture. And the ayah gives us the hope that the good people are those who avoid the major sins except the minor ones. We are not perfect, we were not meant to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith Qudsi, لو لم تكونوا تخطئون فتستغفرون لأنشأ قوما غيركم يخطئون فاستغفرون. If you were a creature that doesn't sin and repent, Allah would have created another species who would sin and repent. Because in our making, Allah put the good and the bad, and we are not perfect. We do our best. Our contract with Allah is to do our best. There are heinous crimes that obviously we should not approach or come near, but if we do the usual mistakes, because we are human, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ, then the forgiveness of Allah is great, and no one can put a limit to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the ayah ends in a tone with which the following surah begins. The ending of the Najm surah is Azifat al-Azifa. The coming one has approached. The ever approaching hour is drawing near, but no one but Allah can reveal when it will come. And the Surah Al-Qamar that follows begins اقتربت الساعة. So one surah ends Azifat al-Azifa, the inevitable one is approaching and drawing near, and the following surah begins, the hour has become near. And when it will become near, one of its signs is that the moon will be torn asunder. And again, Surah Al-Qamar relays to us repeatedly, because the Quran oft repeats that, the reminder of those before us who were previously destroyed, and warns the Quraysh that you are not immune. What happened to those before you can happen to you. They were stronger, they were in larger numbers, and yet we destroyed them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even with this threat to Quraysh, what happened to the others can happen to you, and yet he did not destroy Quraysh. As a matter of fact, the peoples before us who were destroyed by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were destroyed only after their prophet asked Allah to destroy them. And yet Sayyidina Muhammad never asked Allah to destroy the Quraysh, because it was written and decreed that prophethood would move from the branch of Isaac, moving to the branch of Ismail. And so the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, although he was persecuted by the Quraysh, he would say when Gabriel came to him, your Lord gives you the option, I can crumble down the two mountains over their heads. And yet Muhammad would say, leave me alone, Gabriel. Allahumma ghafir liqawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. May it please you, Allah, to forgive my people because they don't know. And on another occasion he would say, inni la'arju أن يخرج من أصلابهم من يعبد الله. When he was asked by some of his companions, ask Allah to destroy them, and he said, no, I am hopeful that through them there will be descendants of them who will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We move now to the beautiful surah, Surah Ar-Rahman, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam described as the bride of the Quran. لكل شيء عروس وعروس القرآن سورة الرحمن. The surah that is convincing to the mind, that is influencing the emotion, but also that fulfills the artistic and the artistic gifts that we have been given. It has a rhyme. It is a surah as if it was containing its own music amongst itself. And Ar-Rahman allama al-Qur'an khalaqa al-insan. Ar-Rahman, the most compassionate, taught the Qur'an, and this comes in importance even before mentioning the creation of the insan. The most important thing, the prime factor here, is that تعليم القرآن, علم القرآن, because the Quran is God's light. And then comes the insan, خلق الإنسان, and he created the insan to be his vicegerent, to be his khalifa on this earth. It wasn't in shame and in punishment that we came to earth as believed by the Christians and the Jews. It was lifting up Adam and honoring Adam to the standard of prophethood. The biblical report on the primary original sin was that Eve tempted Adam, and Adam, the devil tempted Eve, and Eve tempted Adam, and they ate from the forbidden tree. So they were punished in shame and being banished to this planet Earth in punishment, especially Eve, that the Bible addresses in pain and the suffering. Will you procreate, you and your daughters, to the day of judgment? The Quranic report is very different from that. The devil tempted both. They both sinned. They both repented. They both were forgiven. And that was the end of the original sin. Since, whereas the others believe that every human being is born in sin and the sin is inheritable, we believe that since Adam and Eve were forgiven, every human being is born pure, and then it is our choices that blemish us and make us into good people or bad people. And the insan has been given the domain on the nature within himself and the nature outside him to act as the agent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but on the terms put by the owner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the test of the insan on this, in this world. خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. He taught him learning and expression. And as you know, our main instrument in learning and expression is our mind. And our main instrument in recording and reporting what we want to express and what we want to learn is by writing it down or drawing it down. Therefore, in anatomy, when you compare the human brain to the brain of all other animals, you find that the space that represents the hand in the human brain is very large in relation to the space that represents the hand in the brains of other animals. Because it is with the hand that we can write. We are the only living creature who can use our hands to do things in fine detail. And the other big area in the brain of the human being is the area of the tongue. That is, we speak and we write. We address one another and we express ourselves, whether it is by writing or by fine art, etc., etc. And this is probably the seat of the amana of the human being, because our brains have been so constructed that we have an autonomy of ourselves. We are not just programmed to do whatever we feel we desire to do. One of you cannot stand up and urinate in the mosque. A horse would do that without blame, because we have the choice, we have the concept of the good and evil, we are free to choose, and hence we are accountable. Then the question of al-husban. Al-husban means by calculation. الشمس والقمر بحسبان. Everything is weighed and is in balance. And the very up-to-date scientists tell us that we live in a universe of balanced equations. And this is the balance pervading all the universe. and comes the mizan, which is the equilibrium between things, the slightest imbalance in the universe would lead to a cosmic catastrophe. And we have to regard this balancing, because the balancing also has the meaning of justice. We have to be just. And Allah says, وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ. And what is the mizan? It is something to weigh between two sides. And the mizan should be the secret and the key to our life, and that is to be just and not make the mizan lean towards one side in injustice. Whereas we worship Allah, ibadah, na'budu, the stars and the trees and everything else prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tasjud, to sabbih, by obeying the laws. Surah Ar-Rahman is the surah whose target is two kinds of creatures. It uses the form of the double all the way. It is the surah that addresses both human beings and the jinn. And probably it is a unique surah in that, because in other places in the Quran, we know that parallel to humanity, there is the ummah of jinn, and they also should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will have the reward or punishment. And the surah here goes almost out of the way of the whole Quran to address both creatures together, both worlds. And it counts to them the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenging them on 31 occasions of the 78 verses of the surah. 31 out of 78 verses are challenging both the ins and the jinn with whatever ayah of Allah are you not believing. With whatever ayah from Allah are you giving the lie. And it does that 31 times out of the short 78 verses. And then, after reviewing the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it tells us about the fate of human beings, both in this world and in the hereafter. And the hereafter, the outcome will be very different, whether people are believers or unbelievers.